Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel, so on the bottom of Nun Beis, Amud Beis, around 8 lines up. The Gemara
before
says,
the Mishnah, after the Mishnah?
After the Mishnah.
After the Mishnah.
V'ad Kamen, the Gemara asks, Ad Kamen. We're talking about right now the Binyan Dichrin, the Ksubas Binyan Dichrin. And the Gemara wants to know, and then the whole point was for that the father, when the father to give the daughter, Nidunya, to make her attractive, appealing to get married. But he'd only do that in a way if he'll be ensured that his daughter's son, in other words, his grandson, will ultimately get the money. So that was the whole motivation for this binyan dichrin. It was ultimately for the daughter, not for the grandson. Even though the grandson's going to get it, but it helped the daughter get the nidunya in order to marry her off. So Gemara wants to know now, v'ad kama, how much is supposed to be given over as the nidunya, as part of the binyan dichrin? So the Gemara says, Abai v'rava damri tshivaya, both of them are of the opinion, ad the Isur Nichse, up until a tenth of the Nechasim. So Rashi explains here. There's no Rashi. Okay, fine. No Rashi. So the Gemara explains, up until a tenth of the Nechasim is how much you give to the daughter. So asks the Gemara, Ve'ema de'av liyaros de'bal lo liyaros. So maybe the only time, look at Rashi now, Rashi around 20 narrow lines up. Rashi says, Ve'ema de'av liyaros de'bal lo liyaros. Came in the time of Kadesh Yikvots Litain Libito Hu Ditikun. The whole reason why Binyan Dichrin was instituted was in order that the father really give the daughter some property, as we just explained. Nedunya Diyav Av Libito Liyaros Banim Dila. So only in a situation where the father actually gives the Nedunya to his own daughter will then the grandson be able to be Yoresh that Nedunya. Aval Shark Suvos Nichse Baal. But anything that the husband gives over to his wife, not from the father, but from the husband, Kigon Manim Asayim Vatosefes. Debal lowly arson. Anything that comes from the husband should not then go to the wife's children. Only that which comes from the grandfather. That's the Gemara's suggestion. Question.
Debal lo what? What is debal lo in Russian? But in Russian, debal lo the last three words.
The baal lo lirason. Lirason is Aramaic for Yerusha. He should not. So again, right now we have here's the mother. There's a father, and then there's a husband, and then there's the son. Those are three generations. Father, daughter, son. Father, daughter, grandson, whatever. And then there's the husband. So we're thinking, since the whole point that the grandfather will give the daughter, it's only because, only if he's ensured that the grandson is going to ultimately get the Yerusha, only things that come from the grandfather should ultimately go to the grandson. But something that comes from the husband, passing over horizontally to his wife, that shouldn't go down to the son. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Imkain, if we say that only that which comes from the grandfather, but not that which comes from the husband, Imkain av nami mimnev lo kasev, then the grandfather is going to say, if the son-in-law is not going to give my grandson, then I'm not going to give my grandson either. So in order for that not to happen, any money that goes, all the ksuba money that's going to the mother, whether it be from her husband or from her father, will ultimately go to her son. Says the Gemara of Ema, maybe you should say, heyecha the kasev av lichtov baal. Maybe only if the father sends money to his own daughter will ultimately go to the grandson, and then also the husband will pass to his wife will go to the son. But if the grandfather, never gives anything to the daughter to give to the son, then the husband shouldn't either have to give anything to his wife to ultimately give to the son. That's the Gemara's question.
We're talking about kids that are not from the father.
Exactly, right. From another marriage. Or kid, not necessarily true, actually.
Well, because why would we expect the husband of the mother, the husband of this woman, to give money for the kid who's not his?
Right. No, it could be a situation also where the husband has, it might be his children, but he has children from another marriage as well. So instead of having all his children equally divide all the Yerusha that he ultimately gets, right? He has, let's say he's a father, he has two wives, and this wife dies. So he's the Yorish now.
Right.
So these children are going to get the Yerusha from the Ksuba and not have to divide it with the children from another marriage. They have that unique...
So the grandfather is giving money to his daughter.
Correct.
From the dunya. But that means she's not married. So what is he talking about that it's married?
No, but that money that she gets, she has control of. When she gets married to her husband, she has the keren to it, and the husband eats the peros of it.
Right, that's the nechsei...
Melug. Tzom Barzel, one of them.
Okay,
I forget, I always confuse the two.
So
when she dies, so then that goes to her husband.
Right.
So these the children get a they when the husband ultimately the husband the children rather have the rights to that in the dunya, even though.
Thing is that the grandfather is giving money to the daughter to get married. What is he doing about that cheshvan that the husband is going to think?
He doesn't want
to get married
yet. He doesn't want
to know if the other guy has kids.
Right, but he didn't want to lose his estate to his son-in-law. He loves his son-in-law, but he wants
he
it to stay in the family.
He doesn't have a son-in-law yet. He's giving the mother to the daughter to get married. He doesn't know if he's going to marry yet.
No, I understand, but whoever it is, he's going to love him a lot.
She's not married. I'm sorry.
But that's what I don't understand either, because according to the Gemara, he's giving money to his daughter so that she should be more attracted to get married. So obviously he doesn't know who his next son-in-law is going to be yet.
Correct. Even if he's the greatest son-in-law in the world, he'd rather his grandson get the business and the son-in-law get the business.
Making a future cheshbon.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So. Okay. So the Gemara says now, so again, the Gemara asks, maybe only a situation where the grandfather wrote off property to his own daughter, the Nadunya, then the husband's property that goes to her and the ksuba should also have to go to the grandson. But if the grandfather never gives anything in dunya to his own daughter, then the husband shouldn't have to either give anything over to the son. So Gemara says, lo plug rabban. Rabban never argued on this. There's no distinction, rather. The Gemara did not want to mechalik when the grandfather did give, when the grandfather didn't. Lo plug, across the board, the sons are going to inherit the mother's ksuba. Then the Gemara says, bas bein habanim, Nami Tiros. So a daughter among sons should also get a Yerusha. So if you look at Rashi now, the first wide line, Rashi says, Bas Bein HaBanim Tiros. Came in the Taima, Mishim Nedunyahu. The whole reason was because of Nedunya, in order for her to get married. Heichadein Lo Banim Mimena, when he has no sons from her, meaning the grandfather. So the grandfather's daughter has no son, so there's no grandsons, there's only granddaughters. Eliyeshla Bas Manisha, he only has a granddaughter, Achas, Ubanim Mina Acheres, Titel Bas Ayechida, Ksubas Ima, Liyarish Nedunya, Shinasan Avia Ima, Maisha the Tikkun Benandirchen. Benandirchen is only when the daughter has sons, when they're grandsons. But if there are no granddaughters, they don't get anything. The Gemara asks, why not? If they only have granddaughters, wouldn't he want his granddaughters to hold on to the property and not have to pass it on to the husband? So the Gemara answers to that, Kinachla Shavir Banan. Their Banan created this ksuba's bin and dichrin kind of plays two roles. It's a combination of a Yerusha and a combination of a ksuba. So on one hand, it's the ksuba, but also a Yerusha. So since it's a din of a Yerusha, only sons are Yorish, not daughters.
But she's Nizan. She's get fed by that Yerusha.
She will get fed by it, but she won't have a complete ownership of it. Then the Gemara says, so now Bas Ben HaBanos Tiro. So if it's a daughter among daughters, she should get the Yerusha. Because that situation was, it gets complicated. So the case was where there's a granddaughter, but the husband had other sons.
Right.
So she's not allowed to take her mother's ksuba because the sons are really Yorshin. She has nothing to do with the Yorshin, so she's knocked out of the picture. But let's say there's a daughter from this mother, the grandfather, the daughter, and then grandfather, wife, and daughter, granddaughter. But this husband has sons from another relationship. Sorry, daughters from another relationship. So now they are all equal in terms of Yerusha. So in terms of that Yerusha, so let her, since she's Yorish equally to the daughters, let her now take at least her mother's ksuba since she's considered a Yorish. When it was a daughter among other sons, she's knocked out of the picture. But now that they're all on equal playing field, they're all Yorishin, let her at least get that special, she should uniquely, exclusively get the mother's ksuba. So the Gemara says, I'm still low plug Rabbanim. Rabbanim were not mechalic at all, and they therefore said only by sons do the sons get the ksuva of their mother, but daughters do not get the ksuva of their mother, even if they are acting as Yorshim. Then the Gemara asks, v'tigve mimitaltali. So if it's a Yerusha, if we're viewing this as a Yerusha, so let them collect the Yerusha from Metaltalin, like any other Yerusha gets Metaltalin. So the Gemara says, no, ksuva shavir banan, the Chacham called it a ksuba. So this bin and dichrin is a combination of a ksuba and a Yerusha. It's a chumra in both ends. It's very limited to only collect from karka. It's also very limited to only the sons get it, not daughters. Yeah. So the Gemara says it's really a ksuva. So then, titchuf mishavdei. Then they should be able to take from anything that has a lien on it from before, and like any other ksuba. Ksuba is viewed as a. Is there the window open here? A bit of a draft.
Door.
Okay. Back in Adam's house. That draft. He was complaining about when the back door opens up.
I see that you need a can in front. How do you call it?
So the Gemara says, Titcho Mishabdi, so you should collect from the Shibudim if it's really Ksuba. The Gemara says, Yarsin Tana. No, it's really Yerusha. So it doesn't, you can't collect Yerusha from the Mishabdim. So the Gemara says, V'ema Afagab Deleka Mosar Dinar. So maybe even though there's no Mosar Dinar. So the situation is as follows. So let's say this husband has two wives. Now the situation where there are two wives, two marriages. And he only has enough to pay off the Ksuva of each of the wife, but doesn't have anything additional to that to pay off the binim dichrim. So look at Rashi. See Rashi around seven lines up. Ema afagav delekim mosar dinar. Yes, sir, al shtei aksuvos. He doesn't have more than the two ksuvos that he owes already. Yilu ksuvas imam. These children should still be able to take the ksuva of their mother. Kedin ksuvas binim dichrim. Alamatan. Why does the Mishnah tell us? Perek mishaya nasoi. Ein sham el shtei ksuvos cholkin b'shava. Let's say there's only enough to pay off the two ksubas equally. 200 to this wife, 200 to this wife. In that situation where there's no surplus, all the children are going to divide both ksubas equally. Only if there's a surplus of more than 200 and 200, meaning there's 450, for example, there's an extra 50, then the child of that one particular mother will get the surplus. But if there's no surplus, it's equal. So Gemara says, I don't understand why that is. If reviewing Bin and Dichman as a real ksuba, so they should have full rights to it. So the Gemara says that no. B'makom dekam akri nachla deraisa lo takin rabbanim. Because mid-deraisa, really the children, all the sons from both relationships, should be yorshin equally from their father. They're all shoven. We're not going to come in and say, let this son from that marriage get more than the other sons. The Chacham are not going to be oker, or davar min haTorah. So only once midiraisa we've satisfied the Yerusha that they both have the equal ksubas, and then there's surplus on top of that, are the Chama able to say that surplus goes to that particular son from that mother. But if there's no surplus, it's completely equal. We have no right, the Chama have no right to start playing around with the din deraisa of Yerusha. I know it's a little complicated. It's somewhat complex. This ksuba has been in dichron. Now the Gemara says, okay, now the Gemara goes on to a story. I think we're pretty much done with binin dichron. Let's see. The Gemara says, Rapapa Iyasek Lei Libre Be'aba Sarah. Lashon Iyasek is always when he was Osek in the marriage of his son. So Rav Papa was marrying off his son into the house of Abba Sarah. Rashi explains he was a Chamavaya, he was the father-in-law of, whose father-in-law? Rav Papa's father-in-law?
Abba Sarah Haya Chamav Shel Rav Papa.
Ah, so Rav Papa was marrying his son off into Rav Papa's father-in-law's house. And Rav Papa's father-in-law, that is. And that's the son's grandfather. As Rashi explains further, just to some of the genealogy here, Rashi explains four lines up. Ki Abba Sarah Chamavaya, v'hesira Papa Livno Achos Ishto. He was marrying his son off to the sister of his wife. So he was marrying his own aunt. Okay? So Papa's son was marrying his aunt. Papa's son was marrying Papa's sister-in-law.
Yeah, his sister is considered aunt too.
Yeah, Papa had a wife, and the wife had a sister. Papa's son was marrying Papa's wife, meaning his mother's sister, his own aunt.
It couldn't have been his mother's sister.
It couldn't be his mother. It must have been, I guess, from another marriage. Second wife. Okay, so Papa had a second wife, but a sister, Papa was marrying his own father's sister-in-law. Okay? Fine. So, further, the Gemara explains that Kidamrina, Rashi rather explains, Kidamrina, but Be'ilunaros, Armeli Bas Abba, Sarah, Kinama, Okushi Bichinchi. There we have another proof that was the case. Okay, so we have the circumstances set up. The Gemara now says two lines from the bottom. Azil lemichtev like ksuva, ksuvasa. So he wanted to write a ksuva. So Rapapa, this explained, Rashi says, Rapapa went to the house of the Avianara, to the house of the daughter's father, to write a ksuva. And there they were going to make the different business arrangements. Fine. So the Gemara says, Shama Yehuda bar Miremar. Yehuda heard all this going on. Nafik, he went out, and Asa is Chazilei. He went out to go greet Rav Papa. Kimatel Pischa, when he arrived to the entrance of Abba Sarah, Hava Kamiftar Minei, he wanted to leave. Rashi explained, Yehuda asked Rishus from Rav Papa, can I go back now? I escorted you to your father-in-law's house, let me go back. Amalei, Rav Papa says to Yehuda, Nia Mar Behadai, come join us, come observe us writing the Ksuba, see what's going on. So, Chazi de lo hava nichale. So Rav Papa realized that Yehuda didn't really want to come into the house. It's a little bit uncomfortable seeing all the business dealings, the ksuba, the arrangements for the wedding going on. No one wants to be there. It's very uncomfortable. It's like when the chasan kala, they get engaged and they first introduce the parents to each other. So they have a nice dinner with each other, but then they leave before all the financial discussions go on. So he didn't want to really be there, even though Yehuda was a third party. So, lo nichale. Amar le, mai daitcha. So why not? Mishum damrlei Shmuel the Rav Yehuda, because Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda once, Shinna was a lashon he called Yehuda. It was a sharp one. Lo teve bavur, don't be bavure achasanta. Don't be there when they pass over the Yerusha. It's just an uncomfortable conversation when you're there talking about the wills and the estates. Don't be there. Afilu mi bra bisha lebra tova. Even if it's something positive, going from a bad child to a good child. Because you have no idea, even though the child may look bad, you never know if he raised a child who might be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Tzaddik, so you never know. When you pass over Yerusha from one person to the next child, it's not a good thing. The coach gave me Brala Barta, and certainly from a son to a daughter, when you're going to marry off your daughter and you're writing all this stuff to her, you're taking away from the son, that's certainly a bad thing going on. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Hai nami takanta dirabanan hi. But this is takanta dirabanan to do all this. Damar Yochanan mishum Rabishum ben Yochai. Amar le Yochanan ben Yochai. Rashi explains, as we said above, sheyikvas adam yitain lebito. Not doing anything wrong. The Chamim advised people to give some of the property to the daughter so she should get married. It's not a bad thing going on. So the Gemara explains, Amar le, so he says back, I guess it's Yehuda who's responding back to her papa. Amar le, hani mili midaita. It's only when it's done willingly. But lasuya, not me. But to force someone to have to write his daughter in the dunya, that's not something that we prescribe. Amalei, atu mi kamina lecha da'il vasir. I didn't ask you to come in and to force anyone. I didn't tell you to put a gun to the guy's head. Watch what happens. If he's willing to give money to his daughter, then fine. If he's not willing, then not. So, ol lo tasina kamina. I said, come in, but don't force anybody to make it right in the dunya. It's off to his daughter. So, Amalei, so Yehuda says back, it sounds like Yehuda was a Talmud, but now Yehuda seems like he's
the master.
He's right, he's master. So Amalei, Ma'alai didi hainu asiyah. When I come in, it's as if I'm forcing her to the father-in-law to give this off to the daughter. I'm not sure why that's the case.
Well, the guy doesn't want to look like a miser with the third party.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay. Once more people come in, it's not because he was... Okay, that makes sense. So the Gemara says, Akve va'ayol. So he forced him in. Rav Papa took Yehuda and threw him into the house. He was in the father-in-law's house, and he was there and very uncomfortable. Ishtuk v'yosef, he sat in back quietly, uncomfortable, you know, twirling his thumbs and nervous, biting his nails. And savar hahu mirtach ratik. So I guess the father of the daughter, marrying off the daughter, thought that Yehuda was sitting in the back angry. He's so upset that he was being so cheap and what in the dunya was. I think that's what's... If I'm wrong, please correct me. Okay. So he's sitting there very back, upset. So he said, okay, maybe I should give more money. So ended up being that the father wrote all the money off to the daughter as in the dunya. Lasof, So still Yehuda's sitting in the back, uncomfortable, and it was being interpreted as him being angry. He said, I have nothing left to myself, and you're still unhappy with what I'm doing? What else could I give over to my daughter? So Amar Lei, Yehuda says, E minai didi, if you had asked me, I don't think you should have even wrote what you wrote in the first place. You wrote too much in the first place. But you misinterpreted my what I was doing here.
Rafapa was smart.
What?
Rafapa was smart. He's
a good businessman.
So, Amar Le, Hashinami Ahadarbi. Hashinami Ahadarbi. So now let me go back. So let me retract if that's your advice. Amar Le, Shavina Afshe Chadre Lo Kamina. You already committed yourself, and it's chayvus, you created, there's no going back anymore. Okay. So Tosa has a whole discussion about whether you could be chos or not, kinin bedvarim.
He's giving her, but once he's nifter, right? Not now.
I thought the case was that he's writing the dunya, he's writing property for his daughter to have in order to get married.
While he's alive.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how the dowry works.
What's the dunya worth if, the husband wants the money now, not when the father dies.
Okay, so that's the whole discussion of the interesting story here. So I guess
in the dunya today too.
It's possible people write. I don't think it's normal that people write in the dunyas.
It's a famous minhag in Israel. I know in this way, but
in America, let's say the couple get married and they decide to buy a house, or sometimes the parents give some money.
That's, you know, it's a good will.
But it's not part of the ksuba. They don't write anything in the ksuba to this.
Oh, you're talking about ksuba? You're talking about
ksuba?
No,
but then the nedunia is part of, the way it was part of the ksuba.
Right,
yeah. Here it's not. But sometimes there's a responsibility the husband has. That's all written. The husband's responsibility to the daughters and stuff. As far as one child, once they ate on the ksuba, so the rav was explaining to the chassan all his responsibilities, and you have to pay for this, and you have to pay for this, and you have to pay for this. And the chassan was like, ah, don't worry about it. My father-in-law is very wealthy. And the rabbi was like, you know your father-in-law is right there, like standing right behind him. So, okay.
Maybe the father-in-law had already assured him of that.
It's very possible it was. The father-in-law was completely fine and comfortable with that statement. But, okay. So the Gemara says, Bai minei Rav Yemar Saba mi Rav Nachman. He asks Rav Nachman the following question. Machra ksuvasa lebaila. So let's say she sells a ksuva to her own husband. Yesh ksuvas binin dichen o enel ksuva binin dichen. Do her sons have rights to this? So Rashi explains, Rashi o enla, around six narrow lines down. Mi amrinan, do we say, came into machra lebaila, since she sells a ksuva to her husband, Pakala tarasi rushas aviha, milahorish nedunya shalo livne bito. So interestingly, Rashi formulates it. The way the binyan dichen works, it's really the grandfather being morish to his grandson. So now when she sells off this property, there's the whole Yerusha be cut off. Now it's not hers anymore. It's no longer part of that Yerusha, the chain anymore. Oh, or do we say, this could be line rather, Shari Machra, because she sold it, the ain call Yerusha ba meachshav, ela mikachabao. Now, the Yerusha that the children are going to get only comes vis-a-vis the husband now. They have to equally split among all his children from both marriages. So when she sells it off, does she lose that zechus? Do the children lose that zechus? That's the shaila. So Amar Lei Rava says, V'tibaylecha mochelas. Why ask such a strange question? Why not ask the question of mechila? And Rashi explains mechila is a more common case than selling it off. Let's say she's mochel. I'm mochel and binim. I'm mochel my ksuba. It goes to my husband. So what about Mechila? So Amar Lei, so he says back, Hashad Mocharis Kumibali, now I'm asking you about selling it. The Afagav Dikla Memar Zuze Ansua, maybe she sold it because she really needed money. So she needed the money, so she sold it to her husband. Nice guy, right? Damina Kimanda Kamachile, Mea Uchli, Bi Uchli. It's as if they were, how do you interpret all this? Let's see, Rashi. Rashi says, Machule Mea Uchli, Bi Uchla is Makin osa mea makos birutsua. You give her 100 lashes with a whip. Shibirosha barzel with a metal tip. Kimin mashkolos katana shishma okla. A very serious, painful whip. So I was expecting a laugh out of you. Actually, I was waiting for that. So she was very desperate for money. It's as if she was being whipped with 100 lashes. So mochelas mi bay. So what's the shaila here?
But let me ask you a question. When we're saying mochelas, can she be like the stuff that she brings in? That really should be his, and it's written in the ksuba. So by the fact that she's mochel, it's like it was never there and it becomes his, or what?
Yeah, if she's mochel, or exactly, anything she's mochel, I guess, becomes his automatically. He owns it, as opposed to when she dies, he's going to be yorish it. This becomes in his possession right now. So the Gemara explains as follows. If it comes to when she had to sell it, that means she was honest. It's similar to her being lashed, being forced into selling a property. So she was at, it wasn't done willingly. There we have such a shaila, maybe the son should still get it. But if she willingly was mochel, there's nothing that was putting a gun to her head, she was willingly doing it, so then there shouldn't be as much of a shaila there. Maybe there it'd be more pashut that the son shouldn't get it. Only when she's forced into it, then it's not so. If she's honest, maybe the son should still get it. That was the kasha. That's why he asked particularly the case of mocheres. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, pshitili, it's obvious to me, mocheres ksuvasa lacherim yeshla ksuvas binandichin. It's obvious to me if she sells it to another party, not her husband, to somebody else, then to me it's pashit that the binyan dichon still stays in place. My taima zuz ansua, because she obviously needed money and she was forced. Mochelas ksuvasa lebaila ein la ksuvas binyan dichon. If she just simply passes off to her husband, Bataras Mechila, to me it's Pashut, that she loses all control. She did it willingly. She gave it up the chance for her children to get it. My Taima, Achula Achilte. She was Mochel on it.
But, yeah. When she sells the Ksuba to a third party, she gets money. And we're saying that what? That money still remains in the same status as before.
If
you know what it is? I mean, that money stays with her, and it's part of the, like, it will be like Bnei Duchrin, and her grand, and her son gets it.
Exactly. It still stays as her,
I mean,
with strings attached
to it.
It's
like a separate entity, and it goes down when she dies.
That's what it sounds like.
To the husband.
Right. That's what it is. Look at Rashi. You see Rashi, Mocheres Ksuvasa Le'acherim. Rashi explains, B'tovas Hana. She sells it to someone as a tovas Hana, as an investment. What's the investment? Shim nis armala, onis garsha, if she gets widowed or divorced, yitlu lakuchos, the lakuchos will get that. So they're buying an investment, $100, from them, that if you get divorced or widowed, so we get the ksuba instead of you. As opposed to, however, in mace, if she dies, though, says Rashi, yarsha bala, but then the baal gets it, then they don't have rights to it. It's an investment they're willing to take, and the chance of her getting divorced or widowed versus her dying first.
It's an option.
It's an option. So umesa of yarsha. What happens is, end up she dies, but yarsha baila, and her husband ends up being yarsha. In that situation, the bin and dichin still get it because she sold it as an option.
They lost the money. Exactly.
Because she
didn't get divorced.
Exactly.
They still get the money that was passed down from her father, or they're getting the money that she just received for the ksuba.
Oh, I thought the ksuba itself, the money she received, the ksuba, that was her. She made a money off that. That was her business dealings.
Money, and that money is now part of Maisiyah Dayim or whatever.
Because
else.
That money, from the way Rashi explains it, is like a bet almost. It's
right.
A money that is being. They're creating a situation like going. They're going to the casino, saying, "If this happens, then we pay." If not, no. I mean, it's almost
right.
Like that.
Buying life insurance.
Right, like life insurance.
Right, buying someone else's life insurance.
Right, then he knows.
But it's only the Bin and Dichrin that stay in her family, stay with the son, the Nidunya.
Yeah, I imagine the money that she sold off for that investment, I imagine she keeps for herself as Maisi Yadav, or maybe it goes to her husband in the end as Maisi Yadav. Okay, so that was a Shiloh. So if she sells it off, so it's Pashat, if she dies first, then the husband is Yorishit, and Bin and Dichrin is still intact. If she's Mochel to her husband, then she loses all rights. Rashi explains, it seems to her that the Ksuba is Mekel in her eyes, and she doesn't really care so much about it. Her children will lose out. Then the Gemara says, Bai Rava, a different scenario. Bai Rava, Mocheres Ksubas Labaila, Kmocheres Lacherim Dami, O Kmocheres Labaila Dami. So that's Rava setting this all up. So now, going back to her situation, when she sells it to her husband, do we view this as selling to others? In which case, selling to others, that the Bin and Duchim is still intact. She sells to her husband that, either way, the husband's going to get the Yerusha in this case, but she's still selling to the husband is like Kmocheres Lacherim, or it's not like, or it's more like Mocheles Lebaila, whereby the children will not get the Bin and Dichrin. So Basi Debai, after he asked Hadir Pasha, then he answered the question. Mocheres Ksuva Lebaila, selling her Ksuva to her husband, is Kmocheres Lachem Dami, in which case the Bin and Dichrin is still intact. So Rashi just explains what the situation is. You see, Mocheres Lebaila, right around where we are in the Gemara, Mocheres Lebaila, Nami Tovas Hanal Ba'alma Davar Muad. She sold also an option to her husband. Sharei, Im Mesa Yorsha, if she dies, he's going to get it anyways. Vein Lokeach Mimeno Elashim Mesu Lo Tigbe. So he only buys from her that if he dies, she doesn't collect it. Varei Lo Mes Ubali De Yerusha Hugach Mocheres Lachem Dami. If he dies, so he has the right of his estate keeping it, and she does not collect it. He keeps it in the family for his children, as opposed to her. Normally, she's going to normally get it if there were no options. In this case, when he buys the rights to it, he gets to keep it after death, whatever, or his estate keeps it after death and doesn't go to her. That's the small option he gets.
Including her son or not? Her son would be like just one more of the Yorshim.
Exactly, right, exactly. He wouldn't give any special treatment,
any
it sounds like.
Treatment.
But when she sells it to him, what that mean? What she gets for it?
She gets money. I'll sell, he says to her husband, I'm going to sell you my ksuba for $50. So he buys
$50. So there's nothing, you know, if she sells the ksuba, and let's say that she spent the money, and she dies.
He didn't make anything. He didn't do it, right? He was getting it either way. But this case is, if he dies first, then he has no obligation to pay her off the ksuba. He gets to keep
it already.
No, but let's say it's more money. He paid $50 for the $200 investment. He didn't pay for the value of the ksuba. He paid for an option of, you know, he paid less for the option of being able to keep that money for his children after death.
Interestingly, if he divorces her, he doesn't get her ksuba in this deal. Like Rashi said before, Ben Iskarsh and Asamala. I guess it's biyadot undermines the whole purpose of the ksuba.
Maybe it's how you write the deal also. Maybe if you write the deal, you stipulate if you divorce, also I get to keep the ksuba. You're right. The way Rashi sets it up, it's only death, not divorce. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mesa, Rav Idi Bar Avin, he asks, Mesa, if she dies, Ein Yorshin Shelzeh, Vein Yorshin Shelzeh, Yorshin Ksuvasa. The Yorshin from this one, the Yorshin from that one, are not going to be Yorish the Ksuva. So let's see what the case is. Rashi explains, Ein Yorshin Shelzeh, Mishin Yivamos, oh boy. Ha'isha Shalach Baile L'Medina Sayam. So a husband goes overseas, V'ha'amar La, he says to her, Eid Echad Meis, so Eid Echad says to her, Meis Balacha, your husband died, you're free to get married. V'tiru li nase. V'nisei, she goes ahead and gets married. V'charkach babayla, but her husband shows up. Remember these good times, guys? Teitze mizeh mizeh, she has to get divorced from both her first husband and her second husband. The second husband because he never had the right to marry in the first place.
Right.
Okay, v'ein la ksuba lo mizeh v'lo mizeh. She gets no ksuba from either marriage.
Only one aid. So with two aidim, she could have stayed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then Mesa, if she dies though, then in Yorshin Shelzev Shelzev, then Yorshin Shelzev Zev Banim Sheish Lamizev Zev Yorshin Ksuvas A. The husbands don't have a right because both husbands are Asatir, but her children do have the right to get the ksuba. That's what Rashi continues to say. There's a note here. I'm not sure. No changes. Okay, nothing big. So the Gemara says so. The husbands don't get the biyorisher. The Havinba, back to the Gemara now. Havinba. Ksuvasa maya vidase. Yeah.
It says meta en yorshim shelze ven yorshim shelze yorshim ktuvasa. Her husband's nor the yorshim either, it seems.
No, I think the way you read the Gemara is en yorshim shelze ven yorshim shelze yorshim ktuvasa. The yorshim is the noun, and the last yorshim is the verb. The yorish from this one, the yorish from that one, are not going to be yorish her ksuva. So the Gemara wants to know, "Havin ba ksuvasa mayavidase." What ksuva is there?
Ah, okay. So that's okay. So that's all right. So we're saying that the Yerushim also are not getting it.
So the way Rashi said,
he says, "En Yorshe bala harishon, ve'en Yorshe ve'lo Yorshe bala sheni Yerushim et ktuvata."
Right.
Okay.
And the Gemara wants to know what ksuba is there, and Amar Papa ksuvas binin dichrin. Tell me the binin dichrin. So, Rashi explains.
Because she really doesn't have a ksuva. The whole question is, since she did this, she has no right to ksuva. So exactly, what are the yorshim? I think that's what the Gemara is asking.
No, but
it says ma'in yank ktuva lekan haloshaninu bereisha shelotam mishnah. She'ein la ktuva lo al zeh ve'lo al zeh. So what it's asking, what ktuva is that? Are we talking about?
Okay. The Mishnah first said there's no ksuba, and then it says the Yorshim don't get the ksuba.
Right.
And
so
repeats
what exactly
it.
Are they talking about? Anyway, there is no ksuba.
So it's talking about the binin dichrin. So the binin dichrin. So firstly, they don't get a ksuba. Secondly, and the binin dichrin don't go to the husbands either.
Meaning that she doesn't get the matayim or mea zuz, whatever the amount is, if she betula or she's not betula, so it's mea money. But even the binin dochrin inside the ktuvah is like out. Now the ktuvah is totally nullified. Only her part of mea money.
Right. So here's saying that what they're she really had the right of binin dochrin, but none of them get it according to Rav Papa.
What happens is felt like this. She dies, this situation, right? She has two husbands, but she's usher to both husbands. So let's say she dies first. Neither of the husbands are going to collect the ksuba, her ksuba. That's what, neither one get her ksuba. And then after the husbands die, her children now have no right either to collect the ksuva binin dichrin either. That's the halacha.
But it's his kids too. I'm sorry. But it's his children as well.
But they don't get the Binyan Dichron is a surplus.
The sidekick.
You're right. The children are going to divide equally.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't it a different case? Isn't it the case that the first one, they tell her that the first one died?
Tell her the first one died.
But he
right.
didn't die.
Correct.
So but when they told her, she married somebody
right.
else. So they're both there.
Right.
And at that point, she has to leave both of them.
Right.
She doesn't have a ksuba.
Right. So that means when she doesn't have a ksuba, they explain here that after she dies, so they end up inheriting her. Hold on 1 second here.
So then she dies.
אלא אביהם חולקים את הנכסים כולם בשווה, ולא הבנים שלהם נוטלים את כתובות אמותיהם מתקנת, אלא אביהם חולקים את So what the Indian is, that in regards to כתובת בנים דחרין, is that it doesn't matter that her kids with the other, her kids from the one husband and the kids from the other husband, all share it equally. Meaning not her kids, that the kid doesn't take a חלק. ולא הבנים שיש להם ישנים נוטלים את כתובות
המתנורים.
הרי הם, they are, חולקים את הנכסים כולם בשווה.
Meaning she loses the rights of Bnei Dukhrin.
Right, that's what Rashi explains. Rashi explains...
It becomes like a regular Yerusha.
Yeah.
Right, that's what happens. Exactly. It becomes a regular Yerusha.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says... So, v'amai, v'why is this the case? Hachanami lema yatzar anta. So Rashi explains, first narrow line, amai kevin daminon ki anisa lo mafsi de ksubas ha binandirchen, if it's ones, so she doesn't lose out, nema yatzar anta shayisa mesai v'labayl. So the fact that she got married and Nate Echa told her husband was dead and her Yetar was overtaking her, that's considered anus. So just like we said above, if she had to sell the ksuba to other people because of anusa, she needed money, here throws this anusa, so she shouldn't lose out on the bin and dichrin. So Gemara says, no, halsam, by the case of the Yivamos, kansuhu kansu rabbanon. This is a special knas Chachamim had done. Rashi explains why. Mishum de lo daika shapir shemes baila mikamid dintiv. She wasn't so careful. She should have been a little more careful about whether the Edecha was really right or not. Since she wasn't, she loses out. But you're right, mikir din, when a person's onus and has to sell off the ksuba, normally we don't lose a bin and dichrin. Then the Gemara says, Yosef Rabin bar Chanina kamid Rav Chis, he was sitting in Rav Chis, Rav Yosef Kamar mishmed Rav Yelazar, who said the following statement. Mocheles ksubasa lebaila ein la mizonos. Person who's mochel on ksuba, she has no mizonos. Rashi explained, ein la mizonos, be'almanusa, when she becomes widowed, the tanai ksubasa kiksuba. Because when she's mochel on the ksuba, she's also mochel on all the other tanaim that come along with the ksuba, one of them being that she has the right to be fed during the state of being almana. So when she's mochel on the ksuba, all other tanaim fall away. So Amr Levi Gemara says, ilav de kamisle mishmei de gavi rabba habamina lecha. Had you not told me in the name of a Gavi Rabba such as Rebbe Lazar, I would have told you, Meshira tachas tova lo tamishra mi beso. So don't place one good under another, don't place bad under another bad thing, meaning just because you're mochel on the ksuba doesn't mean you're mochel on the other tanaim as well. I think that's how it's understood to be meant. Is that possible?
Hela imo.
Hela imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalem lo mida keneged mida shelo tamush. Meaning that she did him a favor to give him a ksuva, and then he's paying him back by not giving him a zoinus.
So that's ra'atah
hatovah. He gets a ksuba and is also exempt from having to pay first.
Yeah.
But since you quote Rabbi Lazar, I can't go against that. Yosef Rav Nachman Ve'ula Ve'avimi Bar Rav Papi. These three in the Amoraim are sitting. Ve'Yosef Rav Chia Bar Abba Gavayo. Rav Chia is sitting opposite them. Asa hahu gavra de shchiva arus asa. A man walks in who just had lost his arusa, his engaged kala. Amri le, so they said to him, zil cover, o havle ksuvasa, go bury her, or pay her off the ksuba, pay the family the ksuba, the yorshin. Amri lehu, Rav Chia says to the three Amoraim, Tanina, we have the mission that tells us, ishta arusa lo onen v'lo metamila, that a wife who's an arusa to a kohen is not an onen, is not metamit, can't become a metamiter. V'chein hi lo onenes v'lo metamile. She too also is not onenes to him, and she's not metamit him. Mesa, if she dies, ain't a yorsha, he's not going to inherit her. Mesu, if he dies, the husband dies, who gova ksuva, so she collects the ksuva. So, time of de mesu, only because he dies, does she collect the ksuva. But if she dies, ain't la ksuvasa. But she doesn't get the ksuba. So why are they suggesting either bury her or give the ksuba? Based on the mission I just told you, the implication is that she does not get the ksuba if she dies. Her yorshin do not get the ksuba. My time, what's the reason for this? Amr of Hoshaya, she'ein ani koreba l'chshatinesi al'acher titli mashikasev l'chi. Because it's not going to satisfy the tanai in the ksuba, which says when you get married to somebody else, take what was written to you. What's that tanai that's written there? So Rashi explains the last line, she'ein ani kore v'chulei kacha yukosu mishar ksuvasa. That's how they write in the ksuba. Hilkach kol zman shelo meis, as long as he didn't die, lo niskarsha, he didn't divorce her, lo nishtaba lov, lo yorish me'eno klum. He doesn't have to owe her anything. It's only once we get married, when you marry me, then you have the rights to collect the ksuba. But if we never get married, then you have no rights to collect the ksuba. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Kiyasa Rabbin, Amar Reish Lakish, Arusa, Shemesa, Ein La Ksuba. Here too also, she has no Ksuba if she's only engaged. Amalu Abai, Abai says to them, Zili Amrile, go say to him, Shkila Tivoseich, Shade Achizeri Kvar Achizeri. So Rashi explains, top line of Nun Gimel Beis, that Shakila Tivosecha, Chizik Tovasecha, Shata Sover, Shenachzik L'chatova, Bezu, Netulahi Mimcha, Mimutelas Alha Charulim. What's that word? I don't know. Strengthen your goodwill. What is it?
Kotzim,
thorns. So strengthen your goodwill, I guess, your favors, that you think you're doing a good thing, but you're really placing them in the thorns. That's, I guess, the image we're trying to... We don't have... No, I think we're explaining. We don't have to listen to what you're saying. Take your words and throw them into the thorns. We don't have to explain like you. Why? Because Kfar Targum Rav Hoshaya, the Shmais of Babel, Rav Hoshaya already explained this sugya in Babel. That the Arusa doesn't have rights to the Ksuba. So I guess you're just saying we don't need Reish Lakish.
שהרוסה שמתה בחיי בעלה אין בעלה חיה בקבודתה מפני שאין אני קורא בה לכשתנסי לאחר תתלי מה שכתוב לכי.
What happens is Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Say, by the way, Reish Lakish from Eretz Yisrael told us this. We don't need you from Eretz Yisrael. Right. Roshai and Bavel already is mechadish this din. Go back home. But you see oftentimes without Shas, this is a big, tension between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. This is just another one here. Binin Nukvin, the heaven lichu minayim. So then now we're going to analyze the Binin Nukvin, which we said was that the daughters get to be fed and supported from the estate until they get married or until they get older. So Gemara is going to analyze this nusach of the ksuba. Rav Tane ad detalkin leguvrin. Rav's girsa was that you are able to take until you get married, till tilkun lakicha, to a man. The Levi Tani ad the tigbagarin, until you become older, mature, above the age of 12 and a half. So that's the limit of collecting from the estate. The Rav, who says until marriage, afagav de bagar, even though she might be 12 and a half, she could still collect from the estate until she gets married. The Levi afagav de insif, he says, even if you get married, as long as you're under the age of bogaris, if a katana got married or a nara got married, you could still collect until one becomes bogaris. So Ella, so the Gemara asks, I think in a question form. Yeah, Rashi is a little bit mia. Rav says this, that you collect it even if you're Bulgaris, you still collect if you're not married. And Levi says, even if you're married but you're not Bulgaris, you still collect. Ella, Bulgar v'lo insiv, if a person's a Bulgaris, 12 and a half but single, or insiv, she's married v'lo Bulgar, she's 12 and married, chuliyam v'lo pligi, everyone agrees that she doesn't collect it. Ki pligi barusa v'lo Bulgar. If she's engaged as a Nara, let's say, she's 12 and a little bit, but she's engaged but not married yet, or not Bulgaris yet. The Chayin Tanel Levi B'masnisa, Ad Tibbegron, the Yom Tizimin, the Insiv. So he writes in a Braisa, until she becomes a Bulgaris, and she reaches the age of being able to get married. Tarti, you need both of these things? Gemara says, no, Ella, O Tibbegron, O Yom Tizimin, the Insiv. Either until she becomes a Bulgaris, or until she reaches the marriageable age. That's all according to, that was Levi. But according to Rav, Rav says, no, you have to, Wait a second here. Right, right. Levi says if she's engaged, but a nara, she still could collect until she becomes a bogeris. Rav says once there's a lekicha, which I guess lashon of erison, once there's arusa, then she can no longer collect, even though she's not yet a bogeris. So Gemara says this machlokas, Rav and Levi, in fact, is a machlokas tanaim, kitanai. Ad masai habas nizonis, up until what point can the daughter be supported from the estate? Ad shetiaris, until she gets engaged. Mishum, that's the first opinion. That's in line with Levi, Rav rather, that's about engagement. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Amru, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Ad shetibagar, until she becomes a bogeris 12 and a half.
Even if she was already a rusa.
Right, but if she's married, everyone would agree she cannot collect anymore. Tani Rav Yosef ad dehaven. Rav Yosef said until the yahavin. So what does the yahavin mean? So Gemara says ibaylu havaya de'irusin or havad dinisuin. Does he mean engagement? Does he mean marriage? Take it. We're not really sure what Rav Yosef meant by that language. Typically, havaya refers to irusin. V'yatzav ha'isa is referring to kedushin, but here the Gemara wasn't sure what it meant. Amar le Rav Chis to the Rav Yosef. Rav Chis says to Rav Yosef, mishmi lecha minei Rav Yehuda arusa yesh la mazonos or ein la mazonos. Did you hear from Rav Yehuda if an arusa gets mazonos or does not get mazonos? So Amar le mashmi lo shmile. I didn't hear El Misvara, but from Misvara it seems to me Lesley. She shouldn't get any mzonos as an Arusa. Kevin de Irsa lo nichale titazel. Maybe it's more of a question for him.
No, it's not.
So look at Rashi. Rashi explains that it's talking about Arusa who's a Soma, says Rashi. Misvara Lesley, it makes sense to me that she shouldn't get. Kevin de Irsa lo nichale titazel. Rashi explains, Misvara ani omer, she'en lo mizonos min ha'achan. She shouldn't get supported from the brothers, from the estate. The my taima, talking rabbanan mizonos, why was it mizonos to the bas in the first place? M'nichse av, ki'echa delo, titazel al hapsachim. So she shouldn't go from door to door asking for money, begging. Ha'ocha lekla meicha shalachi, there's no concern here. Dechi chazi aris, did mitazle zainla. When her chasin sees that she's going from door to door, he's going to make sure to support her. Even though he's not obligated to, he's engaged here. It's embarrassing that, oh, by the way, you know, your kala is asking for money from door to door. He doesn't want that taking place, so he's going to support her on his own. And we expect, so that's what Yosef thought. That was the, you know, that was human nature. That was enough to remove her from being supported from the estate.
They don't make a difference whether she's a bogeris or not in this case.
In this case, right, exactly. Once she's engaged, she's...
even if she's an arrow or a katana.
Right.
We said if yeah. She's a bogeris, then we say everybody would agree.
That she's not nizonis.
That she's not
nizonis. Right, so here it's a case where she's not a bogeris.
Arusa, only arusa nara, I guess. Okay.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Amar Lei, so he says back to him, Im meshma lo shmilcha, so if you didn't hear the any psak misvar isa, I think she should have rights to us. Why? Since he doesn't really know her so well, they met for three dates. He doesn't really know her. So he's not really going to start throwing money at her. He doesn't know what she's going to bring to the table. So he's not willing to support her, even if she's going from house to house. Ikadami, there's another version. Amar lei, mishma lo shmile, I didn't hear this. However, misvar isli, I think really she should have. It's the opposite order now. Since the chassan doesn't know who she really is yet, he's not willing to just throw money at her, so she should still get supported from the estate. On Malay, the response back was, no, if you didn't hear psak, I think the opposite. Misvar lesley, I think she shouldn't get mizonos. Came into Irsa, since he engaged her, he doesn't think he's going to be uncomfortable with her being disgraced, going from house to house asking for money. Okay, Mark quotes a mnemonic now, simon, of the next few sugis that are going to appear. We'll see what those means in a second. So it says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes asks the following question. Oh, we did a good job. We caught up. I was a little nervous. 10 minutes. Beautiful. Okay. Take a little deep breath. Does Mimenes, which was a girl who was a Yosoma, who was married off by her brothers and mother, she gets married as a Katana, but then she's Mimenes and she refuses, she opts out of the marriage. So what's the Shad? Does she get Mizonos or does she not get Mizonos from the from her brothers, I imagine? Rashi explains that case like we just said. Right, up until Bogeris.
Meaning that the father, she married and then the father died.
Right.
And then she's reminded.
It's a good lumdus. Rashi explains the lumdus here. Look at Rashi, Yesh Lamazonos. Bogar Olo. Before, once she gets Bogaris, she certainly doesn't have Mizonos. But before that point of Bogaris, Mi Amrina Rashi explains, Akarsinu Linisui Mi Karan, Ravle Kimishlo Nisei, does it retroactively undo the marriage as if she was never married? And therefore she's part of the family and does get Mizonos? El Dilma Ha Nisei's Vyasam Rishis Av, or we view that as being married and she's no longer part of the Nichsei Ha'av Rishis Av, she does not get Mizonos. So does Mian Oker the Kedushin as if it was never, or it just ends? It's another type of get. You're right.
Chazer is a base, like the father would be alive. Chazer is a beavi, the base aviha, so it would be like she goes back. But in this case, we don't know once he died if it's Chazer left base aviha.
Well, if the husband, if the father was alive, Mian was wouldn't be an option at all.
That's true.
So
but,
it would be, has to be
no,
a get.
Right. The Chazer, correct. Chazer is the base aviha, but not to her two.
Right. So it's only a shadow with there's no father.
Right.
Father. So does Mian end the marriage or uproots in the marriage initially? So answers the Gemara, Amar Le Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes answers, Tanisua, I have a brisa, Almana Bebeis Avia, a widow is who's in the house of her father, Begrusha Bebeis Avia, or she's a divorcee in the house of her father, Vishomeres Yavam Bebeis Avia, or she's waiting for the Yavam, her brother-in-law, to either do Chalitza Yibam, and she's sitting in the house of her father, Yesh La Mizonos, she has Mizonos. So we see from all this that even if she's been widowed or divorced in Yivama, she goes back. Now we have to get back to Mamenes. We don't have a Mamenes yet. Vihuda Omer, O Deba Vesavia, Yesh Lemazonos, Aina Bevesavia, Aina Mazonos, depends whether she's still in the house or not. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that what the Tanakama says? If she's in the house of her father, she gets Mazonos. If she's not in the house of the father, she doesn't get Mazonos. So what's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? Elo Lav Mimaenes Ikebenayu. Is this not the Nafkamina, Mamenes? What do you mean? The Tanakama suffer Islay, that Mamenes does get Mazonos. Rabbi Yehuda suffer Lesley, that she does not get Mamenes. Now, how you fit that into the words of Yehuda and Tanagama, look at Rashi. I hope Rashi explains this. So Rashi, first of all, explains that Almana Bebeis Avia is referring to Kolomer Minha Eirusin. Demon and Asuin Lo Amrinon Yesh Lemazonos Ad Titilchon Tanan. If she gets married, then certainly even if she goes back to live in her father's house, she has no rights to get the Mizonos. We hope the father will feed her, but she has no claim. So it's all about Almana Minha Eirusin. So then the next Rashi explains Tanagama Savar Mimaenis Islay, that the Mamenes will get Mizonos, v'hachi kamar, almana bebeis avia, v'chulei, v'hu adin, the Mamenes, that's going to be a fourth example in the list of the Tanakama, de'en kan nisuin, de'ha akrasinu, that the miyun uproots the nisuin. V'asr b'yehuda, l'meimer, o de bebeis avia, b'tchilasa, shal yatsa misham b'nisuin, yeshla mizonos. As long as she was always, she was odish, she was always, she was still, she was at dying in the house of the father, only then does she get Mizonos. Aval, when it comes to mishiyatsa, in b'nisuin, ain love. This Mamenes really left the house and the father. Yes, there may have been a miyun, and it's possible that Yehuda even thinks miyun is ochre the thing, the nisuin from the first place, but the moment she left, as long as there's a moment she left from the house of the father, according to Yehuda, she no longer has rights to the mizonos. That's
meaning,
yeah.
The difference between Almana and Grushan, this is that the other ones are from Erusim, and Mimenes is considered nisuin. Is that what it is?
Well, no, Mimenes is from nisuin, but how we view the Mamenes, does it uproot as if there was ever a Nisun or not?
No, but according to Yehuda, Almana and Grusha also left the base, also...
From Erison, though. Right. Well, I think Almana and Grusha, it could only work if there was Erison. It's Almana and Grusha will never be Oker and Nisun. Once it's a Nisun, it's always a Nisun. And Almana and Gerishin will just end the Nisun, but it won't uproot the Nisun.
Right, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is only cholek in the case of Alman and Grusha that were from Erusim.
No.
In Nesuim, they all would agree that they don't get.
Rabbi Yehuda actually isn't even arguing on that case. By Erusim, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Erusim that leads to an Alman and Grusha will also get Mizonos. The only time they're arguing is Memenes from Nesuim.
But Beshuvin Almana and Gerusha from Nesuim,
Everyone agrees she gets no Mizonos if it's Nisun. Everyone agrees.
Okay, okay,
and
so
from Erusin,
okay.
Everyone agrees she does get Mizonos.
Right, so the only problem is Mimaenes because it's really Nisun and she left the house, but she...
Right. So according to Yehuda, says, but Oda Beis Baila, she has to still be in the house of the husband, of the father, rather. So, well, the Mamenes, she left the house of the father.
Right, completely.
Even though Mamenes might be, I think you could still say, even though Mamenes might be Oka and Nisun retroactively, since there was a moment she left the house of the father, I think. Exactly. Ah, that's also a very good point.
Because there's two components. There's it being, there's not doing it, and secondly, was there ever a
Yetziah?
Right. Was there a Havaya, you know, a real...
I mean, see it from the house of the Father, but Havaya, the creator, exactly. Did she really ever leave the house of the Father? So the Gemara responds back. Oh, we did that. Okay, let's do one more Bari. We'll do this one quickly. 6 minutes. Bari Reish Lakish, Bas Yevama, Yesha Mizonos, or Ein La Mizonos. The daughter of Yevama, does she get Mizonos or not? So what's the scenario? Rashi explains a few narrow lines up. Bas Yevama, Hakones is Yevamto. He marries his Yevamto. He marries his sister-in-law after his brother dies without children. V'yadu Labas. Now they have a daughter. Yesh La Mizonos, La'acher Mises Ha'av, Mina'achin, Minich Se'aviyah Olo. Does this daughter have Mizonos after the death of her father from the brothers, from the property of the brothers?
Okay. But so the second, so also the Yamam also died.
Aha. Uh-huh. So her own father dies now. Does she get Nechasim? Does she get Mizonos?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so now the brothers, her uncles, it sounds like, her uncles are going to get Yerusha from her father? It doesn't make any sense. Why should the brothers? She gets Yerusha over the brothers, I thought.
Let's see what the Gemara explains.
The Gemara says, let's see, came in the Mar, it came into E less than Mirushon, Takin Le Rabbanan Misheni, Islay, Teku. Aha. So, the ksuba of the Yibam marriage, the ksuba is really piggybacking, it's using the initial ksuba of the first marriage. And
right.
She has no rights to that first ksuba. It's the brothers, right? The ksuba, it's talking about her uncles. Here, wife and husband, husband dies, brother marries, but the other brothers also, but this brother dies. This brother marries, but there's still a few other brothers. They have a daughter. Now, the ksuba that they're working with in this Yibum is really the ksuba from the first marriage.
Right,
so once he dies, that ksuba is really should be yorished by all the brothers because it's from the previous marriage. This daughter has nothing to do with that first
right.
brother who died. So does she have a chelek in those brothers fighting over the ksuba of that first marriage? Or do we say no, that the brother who marries inherits the ksuba of the first one and becomes part of his ksuba, and therefore it's shaykh to his relationship only, and the brothers have no shaykhs to it and goes to the daughter. I think that's what the question is, something like that. So, again, since in the case, let's say there is no ksuba in the first marriage from the brother who died, the second brother would have to create his own ksuba. So even now, even though he's not actually creating his own ksuba, it's viewed as if it's his own ksuba now, and therefore maybe she should have rights to it. The Gemara concludes as a teku, so we don't know.
All right.
Okay. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Yeah.